This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan. Your number is 877-217-5757. Marvin Broom is in the house. And by the way, today we're going to have to refrain from taking emails for, and I'll get to that a bit later, but there's a story behind it. But at any rate, Marvin Broom is the first gentleman from Baton Rouge, and he is at your service. 877-217-5757. He doesn't do many interviews, and he said that he hadn't been asked to do many. And after talking with him a few times, he agreed to come on our show, and he has an amazing backstory. He and Sharon Weston Broom, our mayor president, have been married for 20 years, and it was his second marriage, and his first wife was deceased, died of cancer, and it's fascinating how you and Sharon came together. How did it happen, Marvin Broom?
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me here. And my first wife's gynecologist, doctor in College Station, Texas, introduced us. And on the day that we met, I wrote in my calendar that it would be at least once I was done mourning the death of my first wife, I wanted to meet more women like the one I just had met. And a year later, we were married. So
you said your first date was on March 6, 98. You went to lunch, and what happened?
Oh, it was a wonderful lunch. It was really relaxed, and enjoyed it a lot. There was lots of intellectual discussions and some laughter. But I looked at my wife, and she hardly smiled. She was had this business face on her. And as the night went on, I realized that she had something about her. I wasn't able to put my fingers on it, but she played the piano nicely, and she had a good voice, and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so that evening, we went to my friend's house and had dinner there, and afterwards spent some time again just talking, and that whole supposed to be lunch went 12 hours actually. And
wonderful.
So, I got home that evening, and I wrote in my calendar that, you know, after I'm done mourning the death of my first wife, I want to meet more interesting women like the ones I had just met. And
well,
a year later, that
magic.
Was it.
Yeah. So 21 years now, almost 22
yes,
years.
Yes, we were married in 99, so it's been
more
be
22 years on March the 8th,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And two gallant ladies, your first wife died with ovarian cancer. And
true.
You were married to her for 25 years.
Married
right?
for 25 years.
And Marvin, it's hard to believe. He told me he's 72 years old, but he's fit as a fiddle and a handsome guy.
Thank you, man.
And you've taken care of yourself, and probably a lot of that is attributed to the two women who have been in your life. You've told me you've only had two girlfriends in your whole life.
Oh,
right?
Man, yes. I tell folks that I kissed two women in my whole life, and I married each one of those. And so, indeed. Sharon was very special to me when we first met. Like I said earlier, that she had that business look on her face, and so I thought to myself, you know, she's a very nice lady, but she's too businesslike. She doesn't have mm-hmm. anything that really sparked in my life. And so, from March until, you know, 2 or 3 months later, we had absolutely no communications at all. And then we met up once again, and there was something special about her that I noticed. And we started, after that, a letter-writing campaign. And so from our second meeting until our third meeting in November, I think it was, she came back again for Thanksgiving. And we had this letter-writing campaign
yeah.
between those two times. And I proposed to her in November, and we were married in March.
Well, that is a wonderful story. And Marvin grew up in Florida in the Tampa area, and he went off as a young man to serve in the U.S. Army, and you served in Germany.
I served in Germany, yes. I served with the Air Force. At least I was stationed in the Air Force Squadron, the 615th Squadron, there in a small town called Birkenfeld. And was there for... 3 years or so? Mm-hmm. And during that time is when I met my first wife. And then my time in the military was up, and I did not have an exit plan, you know, from the military.
And you had three kids, too.
Yes. Yeah. So we were married and had three kids, and moved from Germany to Penn State, where I went to college, and from Penn State to Texas A&M, where I taught there at A&M and Blinn College, a mm-hmm. two-year feeder school to the university.
Well, Marvin, who has a distinguished voice, is a linguist by training and taught linguistics at Penn State, well, at Texas A&M, and has continued teaching at LSU. He's also an accomplished photographer, so yeah. He is a man of the arts and yeah. A military veteran to boot. So quite a backstory from the first gentleman, and a story that's long overdue since the mayor's now in her second term. If you'd like to join Marvin Broom and yours truly, 877-217-5757, John in Livingston. John, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. As a husband myself, I, of course, like most husbands, we tend to want to take care of our wives and look out for them, and I wonder how Marvin handle some of the verbal abuse that the mayor gets sometimes. It has to be very tough for her.
When she gets criticized, do you take it to heart?
I don't know when she gets criticized because I'm not on social media very much, but my responsibility as the leader of our household is to ensure that she is indeed taken care of, and so being her advisor, being her supporter, mm-hmm. indeed, that's my responsibility to encourage her to be the best that she can be, to be the best person that she can be, the best leader she can be. And so, both of us try to insulate ourselves from outside noise, if you will.
Well, the mayor president was a Metro Council person, mm-hmm. also a journalist, but yeah. she went to the House of Representatives and yeah. the state Senate and was the number two person in both chambers. Mm-hmm. So she has done very well in politics at every level, and she continues to thrive as mayor, but elected in 2016, and that was the year of the flood, and you were personally affected by that, weren't you?
Yes, indeed. Indeed, we were infected by that, and our house was flooded, and we thought we were just going to be out of the house for overnight. In reality, we didn't realize the extent of the flood, and a year later, we finally moved back in. So, but yeah, that was quite a surprise.
Out of the house for a year. Where did you live while you?
We spent our time with my daughter Sarah, and her husband, and that was a great experience, being so close to my grandchildren, for example, and watching them grow, looking at their development as individuals, and that was a good experience.
This was the mayor's first marriage, yes. I believe. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And so you had to you had to put on the charm and did it effectively. But it was your second marriage, and that first union produced three children, and it seems to be working out well. She is, for all intents, the mother of your three children, isn't she?
Absolutely, and that was really something that was important to us when we came together as a team. Of course, my kids and I were already, you know, very close to each other. And so bringing Sharon into that relationship was something that we were very sensitive about and worked hard to ensure that she was an intricate part of that team that already existed. And after after much prayer and a lot of work, it really worked out nicely. So,
in getting back to John and Livingston's reference, it goes with the territory. Being a public figure, there are people who will like you and people who won't. She got 57% of the votes mm-hmm. in her race against Steve Carter,
yeah.
but 43% voted for somebody else. And sometimes it's hard not to take those things personally. And sometimes, of course, the attacks are personal. And you, I would think, you love your wife, and you know she's a good person, and probably think that a lot of this is unwarranted. How do you keep it in perspective?
Jim, I left Texas not being exposed to public life at all. And when I moved to Baton Rouge, I was exposed to, I had a public life there, lost my anonymity, if you will, you know, being this lonely professor there at A&M, and coming here and realizing that that my wife was a public figure. In the legislature, there was always criticism from someone somewhere. The criticism wasn't so broad because she was only represented a small segment of the community. And so that was, but criticism was always there, and we learned to deal with it.
Marvin Broome, the first gentleman of Baton Rouge, is with us, the husband of Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome. If you would like to join our conversation, 877-217-5757. Matt Doyle is producing, and we are back with more from Marvin Broome in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number again is 877-217-5757. Some more time with Marvin Broome, the first gentleman of East Baton Rouge Parish. Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome has been elected twice, and last time a rousing win over the late Steve Carter, 57-43% of the votes. She won going away against former State Representative Carter. Marvin Broome has been with her for the last 22 years almost. March 8, 1999, they were married. Marvin's first wife died. He met her when he was in the armed forces in the Army Air Force in Germany. He went there, I think, right out of high school and served in the U.S. Army for 8 years, Sergeant Broome, with distinction. And he ended up coming back home and starting an education and getting an advanced degree from Penn State and taught linguistics at Texas A&M, where he met the mayor, and then moved on to Baton Rouge and LSU. 877-217-5757, and as I mentioned, also an accomplished photographer. When you're mayor president and when you're the first gentleman, when you go out on the town, everybody knows who you are. So how does that work? Do you, in the old days, you might have had some anonymity, even when she was a state senator, but now it's different. How has that affected you, if at all?
Jim, it's really interesting. Going shopping, I pretend that no one knows who I am, and I just go about my business, not looking around to see who recognizes me or not. And so that sort of works for me. And if every once in a while someone comes up to me and says, "Oh, I love your wife; she's doing a great job." And so for the most part, it's a very favorable response. It's been an honor. I tell you, it's been an honor just being the first gentleman of the city and getting a chance to meet so many different people from different neighborhoods. I get a chance to understand how broad, you know, the community is, and so many different folks from different backgrounds, from different nations, and it's really, really been an honor, and I enjoyed it a lot.
And you are the first gentleman of East Baton Rouge Parish, and the mayor doesn't have a residence. You live in a neighborhood like everybody else, and I think you live in the same house you did before she became mayor.
That's so true. Yeah, we live in Park Forest subdivision here in Baton Rouge, and we've lived there for the, you know, since we moved to Baton Rouge. We were flooded, of course, and was away for a year, but we're back in there, and we plan to stay there for a while. So, yeah.
And you have lived literally all over the world. What is it about Baton Rouge that you like, and maybe some of the things that you think we could improve upon?
Man, when I moved from left my hometown in Florida, a population of about 17,000 people, and all of the other places I lived in were much smaller than that. The town I lived in Germany when I was a student had 800 inhabitants, and so it was very, very small. And then College Station, 25,000 people. And so when I came to Baton Rouge after living in Texas, living in Texas on a prairie, if you will, and coming back to this lush green community here and the friendly folks here, and the food was so fine, and I thought, wow, this would be a wonderful place to raise my kids. They were sort of College Station for us was, if you will, a cultural outpost. if you can say that. There were a lot of cowboys there for us. And so coming back to coming closer, to the Mississippi mm-hmm. River, coming closer to Florida, I got a chance to, and my kids got a chance to experience more of their culture, more of their African American culture, because before then they had, lived a sort of a diverse mm-hmm. lifestyle, and here now they were introduced even more to their cultural background.
Well, when your wife died, first wife, mm-hmm. your kids were growing up, weren't they? That had to be a challenging time for you and for them.
It really was, because as in most households, the woman is the star, is the guiding light. And so my first wife indeed was the same case with my first wife, and with Sharon as well. She everything evolves around her, and growing up then without that knowledge that my wife had, leading the household, preparing foods, going shopping for my kids for clothing, after my first wife passed away, and I had the responsibility of going and buying school clothing for my children, and that was
including a daughter.
Exactly, including the daughter for the first time, and just being in the young girl section, buying clothing for my daughter was just kind of embarrassing. I didn't really know what to do, even when I shopped for my own clothes and wasn't sure what size I should wear, So it was quite something. But one of the great things about it was that we gelled as a team, the kids and I, and they really sort of protected me from the outside world, and they became sort of my heroes in reality.
Well, and you also didn't have a flurry of girlfriends moving in and out of your life after the death of your wife. You waited until Sharon, so I would think that made the transition easier too.
Indeed, and that was one of the things that that I just did not want to expose my kids. So I had a wonderful marriage, 25 years, and I surely did not want to just jump into another marriage just simply for the sake of being married. And so, indeed, I took my time, if you will.
Well, and you've kissed two women in your life and married them both. How many men can say that at 72 years old? Marvin Broom did it and has had two remarkable marriages. Paul and Opelousas. Paul, you're on the air with Marvin Broom.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Marvin. What's your favorite camera?
Bye. Favorite camera? He is an accomplished photographer, and I didn't want to downplay that. I'm glad you brought it up. Do you have a particular type of camera you use?
I started out with an old Pentax when I was in film, and that's where I was trained on. My teacher in Germany gave me a bulk roll of film and showed me how to put that on a spool, push me out the door and say go take photos, and then I came back with my roll of film and he showed me how to develop it, and on and to print pictures from there. But to answer your question, I'm now a Nikon man, and so that's the one I'm with now. But it's digital, it's a digital camera. But for the most part, I shoot in manual with that camera, though.
What makes a good photographer?
Oh man, I think what makes a good photographer is being able to see things in the world differently than the average person, and being able and then having the courage enough to get the shot that you really want, which sometimes means invading someone's space mm-hmm. to accomplish that.
Well, Marvin's an accomplished photographer. His work is remarkable. I'm sure there's some great shots of the mayor that we've never seen that you have that could fill a book, and maybe they will at some point. And you mentioned Baton Rouge is a beautiful city, but amid the beauty, we have challenges. Does the mayor talk with you about policy and what's going on, or is that largely left at the office?
That's largely left at the office, and I want to do that purposely because we try to have an environment in our house where you know, work is work and home is home. And so we try to keep it separate indeed.
A listener, Matt says, asks about action photography. That's a different animal. Do you do both as far as still pictures and sports and things that involve movement?
No. I try to do still photography for the most part. I've you know been on LSU's campus a couple of times or to some high school football games and you know, but that's really really fast and I don't really have the you know the proper lens for that kind of photography. But
well, we're going to spend a few more minutes with Marvin Broom, first gentleman of East Baton Rouge Parish, and then we'll hear from Mark Ballard, who is the first gentleman of reporting at The Advocate, the Capital Bureau editor, and we'll get his take on what's happening near and far. Your number, 877-217-5757, and we're back after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard of The Advocate is on deck, and we're wrapping it up with Marvin Broom, the first gentleman of East Baton Rouge Parish. 877-217-5757. Renee in North Baton Rouge. Renee, you're on the air with Marvin Broom. Hi, Renee.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to ask the first gentleman, how does he protect his wife? He seems to be a man who really protects his wife. I've seen him a couple of times out in the public, but how does it make him feel when people say things about her that's negative and untrue?
Thank you for that question. It's through prayer. We pray a lot together. We spend a lot of time encouraging one another. And the one key in our relationship, the one key in our marriage is humor. We laugh a lot in our family. So we say, my wife says often, you know, a merry heart is really good for the individual. And so that's how we sort of maintain that part and don't dwell on the negative, because there's always going to be naysayers. And we know what our goal is. We know what our aim is. And we know why we're set on that path. And so understand that there are going to be some bumps in the road. There are going to be some doubters. But in the end, it's not really what my neighbor to the left or to the right say about us or about my wife. It's about what I know that she's going to accomplish for the community, for the good of us all. So that's what's important for me.
How has the last year with the pandemic affected you and your family?
I loved it from the perspective that we were a home a lot together, more than ever before in reality. I taught remotely at LSU. Did a lot of Zoom calls. My wife did not have to attend meetings personally. She did them mostly at home. The years before, she would leave, 7 o'clock in the morning and come home 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And now this pandemic has restricted that. Not as many balls, not as many galas to attend, and things of that nature. So that sort of those outside distractions, if you will, or those outside activities, it's even a better word, were reduced. And so we spend a lot more time at home. With that time, we can then nurture each other and give each other some care.
You're a commanding physical presence, a tall, sophisticated-looking man, and I can tell you you take care in how you look and what you wear when you're going out and about. Do you think about that as the first gentleman?
I do think about that now, yes, and I like the fact that my friend Kiki Jarman sort of advised me as well. You know, sort of, she didn't advise me. She made me become more aware, and encouraged me, and made and ensured me that it was okay to be one of the best dressed guys, you know, in the room. it's okay to be that way. And at first, I was like, oh no, I just want to, you know, dress like I do when I'm on campus. But no, she says, you know, now folks are looking at you now, and appearances indeed have an impact on people. So yes, that's what I think about it sometimes.
Well,
but it's an easy thing to do, though.
Thanks for sharing brief part of the story of the first gentleman, Marvin Broom, husband for the last 22 years to Sharon Weston Broom. Before we leave, another listener wanted to know about, you were 18, I think, when you went off to Germany.
Yeah.
As an African-American, that was, 54 years ago. So that, do the math on that, this is 2021, yeah. So that was, 1975?
A little...
65.
I graduated in 66, and in 67, 68, I think it was 68, 69, I was probably in Germany. And it was there that with a lot of other international students, I was in a class, with folks from Japan, from Greece, from Turkey, from other European countries, and we had a lot of potluck dinners together. And when it was my turn to cook, I've come from a southern country family, and so I learned what to cook. I didn't have my mom to ask, "Hey, mom, how do you make those pork chops?" And so I learned to cook while I was over in Europe, and learned to cook while I was in Germany, and then the places that I went to, whether it was the former Yugoslavia or whether it's along the Costa Brava in Spain or elsewhere, Morocco, I brought those flavors into my own cooking, and so that's kind of sort of influence, again, how Sharon and I spend time cooking different foods and different dishes together. So,
Well, thanks for coming on today, and you're a man of the world, and we appreciate you sharing a glimpse of your world. Marvin Broom, it's been a pleasure.
Thank
see you
so
soon.
Much for having
best
me.
Best of luck to
it.
You and the mayor president, who works hard. I don't think you can say anything otherwise. Even if you disagree with some of her political stances, she gives it everything she's got every day of the week. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much.